So don't be afraid. Your heart is in me, and it's racing so fast now. Because everything we ever were or ever will be is shapeless as a changing cloud. Your letter written on the sky, I'm needing you now to read it through my eyes. When you see just what I see, then tenderly watch it change and just let it be. Because I am like a dream, and you are just a trip that I am on. When the trip is over, I will go back to the places that I once belonged, and I will look for comfort there, and when I do, I know it will be gone. That is what I'll dream, a dream where I am you and you are me, and then I'll know your love. The entrance of the mine is flooded in a thin, vile layer of tobacco-brown water that swishes dirtily around their boots. It smells like old, expended metal, like a corroded penny, and until the shaft curves, the bitter ice-laden wind blows straight through them, cutting like razors on any bit of exposed skin and making Dean's jacket feel like it's only a windbreaker. The floor of the shaft rises a little bit after the curve, and the flood turns to nasty-colored puddles, slippery, slick stone, and rusty, dangerous splinters of metal and stone. It's only a few hundred yards before they come to a hole in floor large enough to accommodate them in their gear. Dean holds the light and the gun while Sam sets up the tripod and hand winch. Sam's hair, shoulder, and pack are spotted with water, and something about it, about the almost shapes it makes, prompts Dean to say, I used to draw protection symbols on your clothes, on your backpack and stuff, in salt water. Sam pauses and looks up at him, shifting his hard hat back on his head so the light doesn't shine right in Dean's eyes. Did you? His eyes flicker and then he goes back to what he was doing, hands moving fast and efficient as he screws the lightweight but durable frame together. He says, I know you used to hide things, rabbit's feet and things in my stuff. It used to drive me crazy. I didn't know about the salt water, though. Dean looks past Sam, down the darkness of the shaft, his fingers clammy around the pistol's grip. Maybe I don't remember. Maybe it's not real. Sam glances over his shoulder again, and there's a faint smile at the corners of his mouth. No, it sounds like something you'd do. Sam pauses and sits back on his heels, hands cupped around his knees. It's the last time I'll say anything, but it's not too late, Dean. We can still leave. Go and just not look back. Dean shakes his head jerkily, as if that possibility hasn't occurred to him a dozen times already. Sam is the one who knows how to do this, who remembers, who gets it. Sam is the one that escaped once already. The gun felt familiar and easy when it was shooting at cans and bottles in the snow, but he doesn't know if it'll be the same when it matters, when it's a moving target, and out to get you first. And while he's scared for his own life, of course he is, he's also conscious that if he gets in trouble, Sam will try to save him, at the expense of his own life, or both their lives. And it'll be his fault, for not being good enough, for letting himself be broken to uselessness, and he'll either be dead or alone, which is just about the same thing. So just don't get into trouble, Dean. Nah, he says, and Sam breathes out, but starts hooking the belt around his waist, shrugging into the harness. Can't run out on a hunt. That doesn't sound like the Winchester way. Sam's smile is unwilling and half angry. No. No, it really isn't. The wind drops them down about 100 feet. It's warmer and drier, which is about all that can be said about it. Their feet crunch in dust and debris as they swing their lanterns and flashlights wide, shoulders flat against each other, Dean aiming up the shaft and Sam sighting down. Is this the part where I say it's quiet and then you say, it's too quiet, and then something comes to eat our faces? Dean asks. God help him, he sounds almost hopeful. There's a certain solidity to something coming to eat your face. It's not this nerve-wracking waiting for the bad stuff to start happening. Sam's shoulders move against his as he laughs soundlessly. Sometimes? Ah, just checking. For example, not today, it would seem. Dean nods. So if I was some sort of evil, mind-controlling, mind-dwelling thing, where would I be? There is the rustle of cloth and nylon, and then the whine of a zipper. Taking his eyes off his side of the mine shaft, Dean glances at Sam to see him rummaging through his backpack. That's a good question, Sam says, his right arm, gun in hand, still extended. He takes out a billow of thin onion-colored paper, fighting to get it open. Carefully and without taking his eyes off the darkness, Dean puts his lantern down, but not his gun, and together they spread the mine schematic out so Sam can read it. It's only a guess, Sam says thoughtfully, but looking at the pattern of the excavation against when the fires started and the mines became dangerous, I'm thinking it's probably somewhere in the fourth level down here. He points. Somewhere in this western part where they started to slope down, dig deeper. That was the newest and most visible part of the cut, and it's the part that got abandoned first. Dean shrugs. Makes sense. So we've got to get down, what, another two levels? And maybe, he squints, trying to translate the scale. Another half mile of tunnel or so? Just about, Sam nods. Maybe we can find another drop shaft down. They both study the map a few minutes longer, memorizing turns and passages before Sam folds it back up one-handed, tucks it in his backpack, and zips it all up. Dean picks up the lantern again and flexes his outstretched arm. The elbow and shoulder ache a little, stiff from the places where he's hurt them before. Dimly, he has a snatch of something large and furry in the dark, in some woods, picking him up by the one arm and shaking him. He remembers the dull red throb of the bone slipping out of socket. He remembers its eyes, silver and inhuman, gleaming in the dark. Dean? Dean startles a little under his skin, sort of lost in sense memory, but he doesn't let it show. Yeah? He turns his head again to look at Sam. Sam puts his own light down to reach out and grab the back of Dean's neck and tug him in. The kiss is hard and frantic, more a rough scrape of lips and teeth, an urgent tongue, and when Sam pulls away, they both immediately recite down their respective sides of the drift to make sure nothing snuck up on them in the interim. I love you, Sam says, looking away. I just love you, Dean. Yeah, okay. Dean thinks he might love Sam, too, and he feels pretty confident that Dean before did or does. Crisis is confusing, but it's also nothing he feels particularly comfortable saying. Thanks. Sam laughs. It's fine, Dean. I wasn't expecting a response. I don't get to say it to you very much. Oh, so you're taking advantage of me in my amnesic state, Dean nods wisely. I feel so used. You're going to feel my foot up your ass in about half a second, Sam says back. There's a scrape on stone, and the light wavers and shifts as Sam picks his lantern up again. Such a kinky bastard, Dean grumbles and picks up his own light. Sam? Hmm? Sam's done setting the charges and arming the timer. Only 7 more to go. His foot taps on the stone, and Dean knows Sam's counting off turns in his mind. You said... Dean turns in a slow circle, panning his light over the walls. The mineshaft ceiling is opened up here into the original stone, rising hundreds of feet above their heads to vanish into thick darkness that even their head and hand lamps can't penetrate. It's cross-braced in several places with huge supports of pitted metal. They look like pistons of some unknown giant machine, half buried. You said there'd been fires down here, right? Yeah, that's when they started abandoning sections of the mine. There was a huge one. 15 miners died on the scene, another 6 from smoke inhalation and stuff. Why? Well, I've been looking, Dean says, and I don't see any soot on the walls. No fire scarring, scorch marks, nothing. Huh. Sam panned his light around too, making that same circle. Weird. Weird? Dean echoes. Is there a dictionary somewhere for me to learn all these fancy ghostbusting terms? Because I'm feeling a little left out. We're not ghostbusters, Sam says automatically, head tipped back as he scans up as high as the light beams will go. And what do you want me to say? Dean scowls. I don't know. You're supposed to be the expert here. Sam shrugs. Yeah, well, I don't know either. All the newspaper stuff I could dig up said there had been fires. I mean, the body the sheriff showed me was burnt. What was I supposed to think? Hey, Sam, chill out, Dean says, putting his hand on Sam's shoulder. Under his palm, Sam's shaking a little. Not much. Too little to notice without touching him. I'm not blaming you, man. No, I know that, Sam says. He doesn't meet Dean's eyes. Dean's fingers tighten over the bone. Sam, we'll be okay. We are okay. Now get your head straight. Sam nods. I think I'd feel better if something was attacking us by now. Dean laughs. Yeah, me too. Dean? That's really his only warning before Sam drops both gun and lantern, his fingers flying to his head as his legs buckle. Sam grunts like he's been hit. Sam? Dean turfs his own lamp, but he can't quite make himself ditch the gun as he reaches out to catch his brother. And it is catching Sam, all his bones and angles and surprisingly heavy weight, doubled in bulk thanks to the backpack. They crash sideways into the stone, Dean twisting to take the brunt of the hit and cushion Sam as they slide down the wall. Sam? Sam whimpers, still trying to curl up in the frame of Dean's arms, huge monkey paw hands knocking off his hard hat and wrapping around his skull like he's trying to hold it together. Dean hates it, but he puts the gun down carefully and in reach of his hand and cradles as much of Sam's body as he can, rocking him. Sam? Come back, man. I don't know what freaking magical thing you're doing, but you need to come back now. Hear me? He wonders what he'll do if Sam won't or doesn't come back. Starts trying to figure out how he can carry Sam out of here, through and up several miles of branching tunnel. All the while, he lets his voice run on. Sammy? Come on. Sammy. I need you here, man. Please come back. The terror. The old terror. The black, clotted terror of the hospital comes back to him and he feels his heart squeeze tighter and beat too hard in his chest. The walls of the drift closing in. He's going to die. Something's killing him and there's nothing you can do about it. Because you're weak. You're weak and you're pitiful and you fuck up everything you touch. And that's why you're alone. Why you'll always be alone. No. Dean buries his face in Sam's hair, holds on tighter. Not alone. He's not alone. Dean. Sam's hand comes to wrap around the crown of Dean's head, holding it against his. Keep talking, Sam says, gritty and slow. It's not... He whimpers again, fingers tightening over Dean's skull. Dean's arms wrap tighter still. It's not real. It's it. The thing in the mine. Talk to me, and I'll talk to you. Dean's jaw clenches, and a little of his anger bleeds into the cold darkness of his fear. I'm gonna kill it, he says. Yes, Sam agrees, quietly, fervently. We're going to blow this mine to fucking hell and gone. Dean raises his head, shoves his arms deeper under Sam's armpits, dragging Sam back against him more firmly. Until there's nothing left but rubble and fucking ashes, Sam chimes in, his feet skidding on the powdery detritus of the drift as he fights to get his uncooperative legs under him. His jeans are smeared with it, like chalk. Sam's head falls back onto Dean's shoulder, and he mutters, "Kill that thing, squish it like a bug, and bring this whole damn mine down on top of it." Yes. Dean's thighs flex and they shove themselves up, together, scraping Dean's spine and side along the uneven, rocky wall until they're on their feet again, shaky and panting. Sam turns his head so his forehead touches Dean's cheek, his hair catching in Dean's stubble. Sam could probably stand on his own after the first moment, but Dean leaves his arms crossed over Sam's chest for a while longer anyway. Sam pants against his neck and collarbone where the coat doesn't cover. "What was it?" Dean asks finally. "A vision." Sam shudders and his legs almost go out from under him again. Dean hauls him upright again. "I saw... I don't even know what I saw. A thing. A thing lying in the darkness. A thing dreaming in the dark." "It's sleeping?" He doesn't know why he's so surprised. Maybe because the thought of all this, this sabotage of his life and his memory, being somehow accidental, is more horrifying than he can even explain. "Yes. Well, no. Sorta." Sam's head rolls on Dean's shoulder. He looks up at the darkness arching over them. It's like it's a waking dream. Like the dream spreads out and becomes almost real. It touches you, and then you're inside the dream, too. That's what happened to those miners. It... Jesus, I think it was trying to protect itself. "Are you telling me it burned them up? Killed them with imaginary fire?" Dean asks. He looks up at the tunnel walls again, this time speculative. "And that's why there's no soot on the walls?" "Yeah." Sam reaches up and curls his hand around the back of Dean's skull again, below the hard hat, his thumb scrubbing against the grain of Dean's barely there hair. "The fires, the gas, the poison. It was all the thing, keeping people away." Sam breathes out and then starts struggling up to his own feet again. Dean untangles himself from Sam reluctantly. "So, it's not really evil at all? It's just, what, protecting itself?" "Oh, it's evil, all right." Sam bends carefully and retrieves his hard hat, tapping the lamp with one finger. "And it's not just protection. It feeds off the pain and death. It enjoys it. It enjoys hurting people." "People like Dr. Valeri?" Dean grabs his lantern in Sam's. The charges are already going. They don't have lots of time, and Sam still looks shaky. "No." Sam makes a little noise in the back of his throat Dean can't classify. Then he looks over at Dean, his helmet light shining right into Dean's eyes. "Dr. Valeri, that's something different, I think. People like you." Dean stops, just stops, body and brain. And then slowly his head comes up and he turns to look at Sam. "I saw," Sam says hoarsely. His voice sounds like cloth nearly worn through, rotten and ready to tear at any second. The hardness in his eyes is gone too, replaced by the soft and watery, helpless look Dean hates so much. His, "you're broken and I can't fix you" look. "Not everything, not nearly everything, but I saw you, what they did to you." "Don't," Dean says, but his voice fails him and it comes out a whisper, barely intelligible. "Tell me. Tell me, Dean, and all this can stop. You can make all of this stop. You just have to tell me what I want to know." It's in her somehow. Dr. Valeri. Others, too. Too many others for me to count all of them. All the hospital staff, for sure. All those doctors. Jesus. It uses them like its arms, doing its bidding. Controlling things. Controlling the town. Enough of it anyway. And feeding off the rest. "Just tell me, Dean. Just a few words. A few meaningless words. Because it hurts, yes? Hurts so bad. So good. And we're just getting started. It can be worse, Dean. So much worse. No one knows you're here. No one cares. You're all alone, and you're in pain. But you can make the pain stop, Dean. You can do it. You just have to tell me what I want to know. You... Dean clears his throat, spits into the dust where it splats a spot of blackness. You saw all that in just a couple minutes? He's trying to be funny, but he can feel it fall as flat as that little glob. Sam shrugs. It's never clear, really. It's all impressions. Things all jumbled up and without words. Like a whole movie compressed down to a couple seconds. Why hasn't it attacked us? Why haven't we been hit by this, I can't believe I'm even saying this, killer dream? I don't think it can, Sam says, and then frowns, his eyes half-lid. I think it tried, but it can't reach us like that. Why not? Sam smiles. Because I'm me and you're you? He checks the gun with quick and economical efficiency and then accepts his lantern from Dean. I have whatever this is, and you... Sam's mouth pitches a little at the corners, and Dean wonders what he's remembering to put that look on Sam's face. Well, it's always been harder for things to crawl inside your mind. You're pig-headed even when it comes to spooks. Come on. He tilts his head at the tunnel in front of them. We've still got a ways to go, and a lot more charges to set. I'll bring this whole goddamn mountain down if I have to. Be a pretty cool explosion, Dean offers, and is rewarded by Sam's startled laugh. Did we expect these things to change? By waking up and suddenly there they are? And all I need's a starting place, and nothing ever seemed so hard. Whatever I fear the most is whatever I see before me. Whenever I let my guard down, whatever I was ignoring. Whatever I fear the most is what I see before me. Whatever I have been given. Whatever I have been. The drifts slant sharply down. The cart tracks, newer than the other parts of the mine, buckled and coming loose from the rock. The cut marks on the wall are cruder, sloppy, and there are fewer support beams. Dean runs a hand across the stone gingerly. I don't understand, he says softly, not sure if he's afraid of bringing the whole shebang down on their heads, or of what might overhear them. This doesn't even look like they were trying. I mean, how could they mine anything under these kinds of conditions? The mine's not that old. You can't tell me OSHA or somebody wouldn't have had their heads up their miners' asses about it. I don't think they were all that interested in mining by now, Sam says, poking at the chalky and melted-looking pile of waste rock, and coming up with a skull, brown and hollow-eyed. Doesn't look like it anyway. Maybe they didn't find it by accident. Maybe it was calling them. Dean shivers. He doesn't know if the bitter cold is because they're so far underground or some byproduct of the thing lying in wait, but it aches in his bones, his uncovered ears, the tip of his nose. Calling them for what? Look, Sam says and squats down, holding his lamp closer to a section of the wall formerly hidden by the loose stone. Dean comes over and hunches down too. By the conjoined light, Dean sees the rock was once carved deeply, some kind of decorative border. Dean reaches out and traces a pattern in the worn stone. It looks more deliberate than a curve or swirl, like it used to be something, man-like, but not a man. Damn, Dean says, his breath smoking silver in the chill. How long do you think it's been down here? I don't know. Sam looks worried again, eyebrows pulled in tight over his nose. A long damn time. Put a charge here, Dean says. It's not structurally important, he knows, but a part of him is completely wigged by this, older than anything he's ever seen. Older than humans, maybe. Blow it the fuck up, whatever it is. Yeah, Sam agrees slowly and fumbles with his bag. When it comes, he never sees it coming. There's only Sam's sudden yelp of, "Dean!" and hands coming out of the thick shadows to grab. Dean may not remember much, but his instincts are just fine. He ducks and twists, feeling rough, cold fingers slither over his scalp, skid off his shoulder, his thigh. They've got Sam. "Dean, run!" Their fumbling hands throw Dean off balance. He drops the lantern in a dizzying whirl of shadow and throws one hand out to catch himself on stone, legs pistoning to carry him forward. With a half step of space between him and his attackers, Dean turns blindly and fires. The gun muzzle flashes, throwing fractured light onto them. It's some woman he's never seen before, snaggle-haired and wild-eyed, and Rube, one of the orderlies from the hospital, a big, burly bear of a man who once put out his cheap Russian cigarettes on various parts of Dean's body. Even so, he knows Rube, and Rube knows him. Seen him naked, fucked up and screaming, crying, for the pain to stop, for the lid to open, for the air to come back into his starved, deprived lungs. Tell me where he is, and all of this will stop, Dean. I promise. Do you want it to stop, Dean? Dean, Sam says again, frantic, despairing, and then Dean can't think about it anymore. They'll kill him. He wants to close his eyes, but he can't. Not because he doesn't think he can hit them. It's point-blank range, and they're lunging at him again, their eyes crazed blanks of nothing human. But because if he's going to do this, really do it, he needs to have his eyes wide open. He needs to bear witness. His first shot clips the woman in the shoulder. She jerks backward on the side in a splash of red-black blood, but keeps plunging forward at him. His second takes her right through the center of her forehead, and her eyes roll back in a bruised, almost bluish lids as she collapses. Rube hits him then, like the juggernaut, with a full head of momentum behind him. Dean's no lightweight, but lifts him up off his feet and slams him back down into the rock. Rube is on top of him, tearing with dirty fingernails while Dean tries to remember how to breathe. He's wirier than Rube. He wriggles and bucks until he can get the gun shoved up underneath Rube's chin. Rube opens his mouth and hisses, his spit oddly dark as it drips from his teeth and onto Dean's skin. Dean fires and Rube twitches, his whole body going stiff before crashing down. The crown of his head clips Dean in the chin. There's no time for Dean to think about it. He shoves and kicks and twists his way out from under Rube. Sam. Sam needs him. "He left you, Dean. He left you in our care. He left you to this. And if you'd only tell us where he is, we can make him pay. We can inflict on him all the pain we're now inflicting on you. So tell us, Dean, where is he?" "Sam?" There are four of them dragging at Sam, whose hands are empty of his gun, whose eyes are empty of Sam. No. Dean doesn't even debate it this time. His arm comes up and the gun fires, the explosions echoing off the rock until he can't hear anything else, not even the beat of his own heart. He fires and keeps firing until it clicks down on an empty chamber. Bodies fall and Sam falls with them, leaving Dean to scramble over them and pull his brother free. Sam comes bonelessly, blood oozing from a cut on his cheek, and his eyes roll back in his head. He twitches in rhythmic pulses, mouth open and slightly slack. "Sam? Tell me where he is, Dean." The voice that comes from Sam's throat isn't Sam's. Or it is, but changed and distorted, picking up the lighter, inflexible tones of Dr. Valeri's voice. Dean's throat is dry, so dry. So dry it's nothing intelligible when he whispers, "Sam? Tell me where your brother is, Dean." "No." And then he remembers where he's heard those words before. "Let me out of here, you crazy bitch!" His wrists are bleeding from fighting the cuffs. When they strapped him down, he saw his blood isn't the first to stain them. I swear to God, when I get out of here, I will kill you. I will kill every last one of you and burn the corpse. I will take your ashes and salt the earth where they fall. Let me go. The woman, who calls herself Dr. Valeri, but he knows good and goddamn well that the things she's done to him aren't in any book of good medical practice, smiles thinly and sympathetically down at him. Now, Dean, is that any way to behave? My goodness, such an angry boy. I wonder, Dean, what are you so angry about? I'm angry that you think this Dr. Philcrap is going to do anything to disguise what a fucking monster you are. And I kill monsters, you bitch. She holds up a finger. Language, Dean. She pushes the plastic depressor back into the headgear thingy that holds him immobile, flattening his tongue to the floor of his mouth, and then nods at the big goon standing at the switch. The goon turns the dial. What feels like a freight train of a million angry electric bees slamming into Dean, lifting his spine into a curve, making his heels drum into the plastic and his shoulder snap back. It's longer this time. Long enough that he starts blacking out, sounds fading and rising like the roar of the tide and the edges of everything turning soft and brittle. When Valeri nods again and the current stops, he can only pant in quiet whimpers that shame him. We can go on like this, Valeri says. Almost indefinitely, in fact. And not just as easy as this. He tries to glare at her. Easy? Fucking easy? Is she kidding? One short but perfectly polished plum fingernail circles his navel, stirring the hairs ticklishly and making all the rest of him break out in goose flesh. He flails against the restraints again, but he's too weak to do much more than flop helplessly as she traces a soft, sparse trail of hair down. His belly shrinks away and his breath catches, head tipped a little to one side. Valeri smiles gently as she grazes against his soft and shrinking cock. Don't, he thinks, frantic but still too prideful and too gagged to say the words aloud. Please don't. Don't touch me. Don't. It's not you we want, Dean. I mean, certainly you've been entertaining in your own way. She pets him now like you would pet a kitten. Soft, short strokes. His dick remains stubbornly, steadfastly limp, and for that he could almost cry in gratitude. But there are a million others like you. The world is filled with food. Her smile turns lascivious. Her tongue steals over her upper lip, pink against the blood color of her lipstick. Then she nods at the goon again. There's the absurdly loud slam of the dial and the returning current. Then his world is only pain and that horrible, evil, sweet smile. Dean cries. He can't help it. He wonders if his heart will explode in his chest, and if it does, if it'll then really be over, or whether he'll come back the exact kind of revenant he's spent his life chasing down. When the current dies, her fingers slip around his penis again, familiar and dirty. Dean closes his eyes, his breath sobbing in his lungs, and his lashes so wet he can barely see anyway. He still feels it when she leans in, though, the floral lightness of her perfume surrounding them, the soft, fleeting whisper of her breath. This can be so simple, Dean. We only want him, your brother. You're nothing to us in all this. We have no reason to hurt you this way once you've told us what we want to know. Tell me where he is, Dean. Her tongue laps against his jaw, filthily warm, tasting his sweat, his tears. Tell me where your brother is, Dean. It's not like the other memories that have come to him, smoothly snap-fitting into place. It's jagged, and it seems to sit at 90 degrees opposite everything else, abrading where it touches. Dean inhales, fighting not to drop Sam's limp body, fighting not to take the butt of his gun and smash Sam's face in until that voice, her voice, stops. Shut up, shut up, shut up, or I'll make you shut up. Smash your face in, make you bleed. Dean freezes. It's not his thought, not him. Sam. He wouldn't hurt Sam. Can't. Shooting Rube and the others was much easier than this. Groping for a line of sanity through the darkness-ridden passages, the dreamer in the mind has carved into his brain with electricity and drugs. Fumbling for the thought that this is only the creature, slinking stealthily in the unguarded corners of his mind. This is Sam. Sam, my brother. My Sam. Sam's eyes close and he whimpers, twisting sideways in Dean's grip and fisting his hands in his hair at either side of his temples. Dean fights not to drop him. Come on, Sam, Dean says, dragging Sam up. His bad shoulder aches and trembles. Come on, it's me. It's Dean. Fight that thing. Don't let it drag you down. Sam doesn't say anything, but his arms come up to hang into Dean's jacket at the collar and placket, clinging hard. Dean puts his arm around Sam's back and grabs onto Sam's belt and belt loop. Hang on, Dean says, and Sam makes a soft, pained noise, but he nods, his face half hidden in Dean's shoulder. Dean looks at his watch. They've got about 2 hours before the charges blow. We're getting out of here, he tells Sam. No. Sam's voice is tiny, but he drags his feet for emphasis. His grip on Dean's coat tightens. We've got to finish it. Sam, you can barely walk. A shudder runs through Sam's whole body. Then his grip on Dean shifts, using Dean's body to push himself upright. I can make it, he says stubbornly. Sam? Dean! Sam's eyes look blown. He's punch drunk and spacey. It'll just keep getting stronger, keep coming after us. It'll keep killing. Like the demon. Sam had told him about the demon that had killed their parents and almost killed them. It seems weird and worrisome that he can feel so empty about it, when, according to Sam, it shaped almost everything about them. But at this moment, it seems a hell of a lot less important than getting Sam out of here alive and in one piece. I can make it, Sam says again, and there's something in his eyes like pleading, even though he wobbles unsteadily on his mile-long legs. Let's end this, Dean. This shouldn't happen to anyone else. What happened to you? Tell me where your brother is, Dean. He'd like to believe that he didn't tell Valerie what she wanted to know, that he'd protected Sam, and that's why Sam got away, but he doesn't know. He doesn't know. And now he might be taking Sam straight to it all over again. Sam, he says slowly, this is a bad idea, man. I think we should go. We have to do this, Dean. We have to. It's... Sam's shoulders slump. Fuck. It's what we do. And if you get killed in the process? Dean demands. Sam shakes his head. Dean, how are you going to do that? What if that was its plan all along? He hates admitting it, saying the words out loud where they can turn into anything, where they can become the truth. You said it yourself. You can do all these things. You're special. And not just in that rides the short bus way. That thing had me for 6 weeks, and I don't know fuck all what it did to me. What if I'm just like the rest of them? What if I led you here just for this? Just for it to get you? Dean, don't Dean me, Sam. I'm amnesiac, not stupid. It almost got you right then, right there. But not because of you. Sam's hand closes over Dean's arm, digging. Dean, I'm okay, and you're okay. It's not in you like that. You don't know that, Dean insists. I'm the goddamn psychic here, and I damn well do, Sam shouts, and then closes his eyes, swaying again as he presses his fist to his right eye. Ow, fuck. Okay, yes, it attacked me just then, but I'm okay, Dean. It's trying to hurt me with secondhand pain by showing me what it did to the others. Others like you. Dean looks at Sam suspiciously. The others like me or me? Sam shrugs. Even that little gesture seems to sap him. This is stupid, Dean thinks. This is crazy and dangerous and stupid. Both. I saw... Sam reaches out and brushes his fingers over Dean's scalp, tracing the faded outline of an electrode burn. It tickles, and Dean shies away. I keep seeing little flashes of what she did to you, what it did to you through her. The ice and the drugs and the machines. The Jesus, the fucking coffin. Don't, Dean says. His face feels hot and his stomach rumbles with cramp. You didn't tell her, Dean, Sam says. Dean's eyes dart at Sam and his fingers thrum restlessly on the gun's butt. Sam swallows. I know they asked you about me, how to get to me, how to find me. Don't, Dean says again, hoarser this time. And he thinks he remembers this too, hazier, delicate. He remembers the certainty of breaking, of more and more pain until he'd say anything, anything she wanted, just to make it stop. He remembers the leads going into his armpits, on his cock and balls, inside him. Oh, fuck, Dean whispers, and then he's falling and puking, Sam reaching out to catch him, awkwardly. You didn't tell her, Sam says again, rougher. I did it, Dean chokes. I did. I made myself forget. I knew it was only a matter of time. I couldn't fight her. He hawks and spits. Bile bitter. Sour sweat standing out on his waxy skin. I couldn't fight her. Sorry. Shit. Sorry, Sammy. Dean, you saved me. Sam says, like it's obvious. You saved us because they would have killed you if you'd kept fighting them or tried. You saved us both. You think I don't get that? I did this to myself, Dean insists. I made myself forget you, Sam. I made myself forget everything. To save me, Sam says again, shaking him a little. To save me and save yourself. Because that's what you do, Dean. What you've always done. You protect me. And I need you to do it one more time. Sam nods toward the tunnel in front of them. I gotta go, Dean. It'll chase us forever if I don't, and a lot more people will die. People that don't deserve it. This whole town and beyond. I can't turn my back. And I can't do it by myself. Dean understands now, Sam's whispered, I don't want you to go. Physical threats they can deal with, something he understands, can handle. But this, these mental attacks, Dean can't defend Sam against that. He can't protect Sam then. I can handle the monster, Sam says, though Dean suspects he's faking more confidence than he actually feels, white-lipped and still sort of shaking. Just protect me. Protect my body. Dean spits again, still bitter against his tongue. He wishes for water. Okay, he says, because there's no way in hell he's letting Sam walk in there alone. Wind up your reasons, demons and ghosts. Wind up your circuitry, loves you the most. Your wings on fire, but you can't find them. Your wings are higher. I've never seen them before. Chasing the wings of steel, chasing the ghost of time. Your wings are tired. You cannot get there from here. Where you aspire, you cannot fly there from here. In a river of darkness, there is a light. Shortly, they come to the doors, or where doors once were, leaving only a giant carved lintel and the cracked jambs, all smutted and stained with smoke. The doors themselves are just beyond the tunnel floor, twisted and blackened and covered in layers of gritty dust. Dean's hands are shaking as he sets explosives on the inside of the left door jamb. So let me get this straight, he says, slowly, punching the numbers into the timer. Let's say you get some psych urgent need to start tunneling down like you're trying to dig your way to China, and then you come across this some gargantuan set of abandon all hope ye who enter here doors. Now maybe I'm missing the point, but that's when I start moving swiftly in the other direction. Pretty much, Sam agrees, busy with his own device. His jaw is tight, teeth clenched. Dean remembers how bad Sam was after moving the bottle, and he wonders how much more Sam can take before he breaks, blind with pain. At what point does, "Oh hey, these look like they've been locked for a billion years. Let's blow them up," sound like a good plan? Sam's smile is wan, but he tries. "Oh, come on, Dean. You're just mad that you didn't get to blow them up first." "Shut the fuck up." Somewhere else, a voice screams, echoing off the rock. Not the, "Oh, help me, I'm a damsel in a dress" kind. More the, "I'm so insanely furious I'm going to chew your face off" kind. Both their heads turn, tracking, and then they exchange a glance. "Sounds like reinforcements," Dean comments blandly. "Sure does," Sam agrees. "What do you think the odds are there's a way out on the other side?" Dean asks. "Don't know. Why?" Dean checks his ammo again, compulsive, smart. "Because if we blow the doors now, then they can only come at us from one direction." "Yes," Sam agrees. "But that also means we can only get out in one direction." "Better odds than fighting on two fronts," Dean points out. "I don't suppose you got some kind of map along with all that information you picked up when you and the monster bumped auras or whatever you crazy kids are calling it." Sam looks surprised, like it never occurred to him. Then his eyes flutter half shut. I think... "Sam," Dean grates, urgent, as another scream comes echoing up the tunnel, deeper sounding, angrier. Okay, yeah, I think..." Sam's arm comes up from his side like it's on a string, and he points off in what Dean thinks is west-northwest. "About a mile from the hospital. We can get out that way." "Great." Dean claps Sam's shoulder. "Let's blow some shit up." "Oh, and Dean?" "Yeah?" "For the record, I don't bump auras with anyone but..." "Ow! You, thank you kindly." Dean's ready for it when Sam's knees buckle the next time. He's tried not to make it obvious, but with Sammy stumbling along like he is, Dean's been watching and sticking close and biding his time. So when Sam starts to fall, Dean's there, shoving his arm under Sam's, holding him up, pulling him on. "Just..." Sam breathes and then whimpers, stifled and sick. "Just a little further." The tunnel opens up and around them suddenly, spilling them out into a vast cavern in which their lamps are like droplets of blood in a vast ocean, lost almost immediately. Dean's not sure what alerts him, a sense of movement, the scrape of something over stone, but it only takes that second's instinct for him to push Sam behind him, against the wall, and fire into the dark. Headlamp and muzzle flash show two of them, rushing at them, slaver-mouthed and claw-handed. Dean's shot hits the first one, a woman in shredded remains of a sensible gray business suit, in the neck. His second shot is only a beat behind the first, but he doesn't have enough time to make it good, and so it only takes off a chunk of the jaw, in a messy explosion of pink meat and white bone. The third finishes the job. "Sam?" "Yeah?" Sam taps his shoulder lightly, sounding breathless. "I'm good, thanks." "We're not out yet." Another noise, another instinctive shot in the dark. This one goes wide and too high. The boy is crouching, sidling up to them below eye level, and it, actually gets its arms around Dean's knees, pushing him back into Sam. They both oof, and Dean fires straight down into the skull, half deafened by the noise and its echoes. The puppet drops, and Dean tries not to think about what's soaking into his coat and skin and jeans. "It's got to be here somewhere, right?" "It is," Sam says, with such stifled certainty it sends chills rippling down Dean's spine. "It's still trying to get in me, Dean." His fingers close over Dean's shoulder again, tight and gripping. If I fuck this up, if it gets me..." "Don't," Dean says curtly. I'm not walking out here. I'm not walking out of here without you. There's a promise in there, and he knows Sam hears it when Sam's fingers tighten. A moment later, Sam lets go, and Dean hears the quiet purr of Sam's backpack. There's a hiss, and then light explodes, blinding and sudden, next to Dean's head. He shies away before he realizes it's a flare, red, pink, white. Sam flings it away into the darkness and lights several more, until they're surrounded by a halo of blood-colored light. "It'll be in the center of the cave," Sam says. There's a muscle ticking in his jaw, and his hair is flattened and curling with sweat, the effort of holding the dreamer out of his mind. He looks at Dean, his eyes very dark in this light, the pupils wide. "It's going to throw everything it's got at us." Dean nods. "I'll cover you," he says. Sam nods in return and puts his hand on Dean's shoulder, using Dean as a crutch as Dean reloads, listening for the next attack. "Sam?" "Yeah." "Can I shoot left-handed too?" Sam huffs a laugh. "Yeah, Dean, you're good." "Cool." Dean brings out Sam's discarded gun from his belt. He feels a little more solid with a gun in either hand. He wonders if Dr. Valeria is here, if he'll get to end her the way he's going to put an end to as many of these puppet humans as he can. He doesn't know if the thought is a joyful one or just fearful. Things get a little blurry after that. There comes a time when you can't think too much. When there's only body after body coming at you, all of them bent on tearing you and your brother into tiny bloody pieces, if you're lucky. There's a time when it all narrows and refines to target and shoot, sight, target and shoot, reload. Dean doesn't remember being good at this. He has no recollection of anything other than being good at it now, the bullets moving like extensions of his thought. He looks, he moves, and they go, piercing flesh and bone, leaving it a twitching, flopping ruin on the stone. God, there's so many of them. His nose burns with the cordite of the gun, the swamp wet reek of blood and other bodily fluids, and the chemical stink of flares. Sam's hand is on his shoulder, still on his shoulder, light and flexible as Dean has to step and pivot and move to fire. Sam mutters under his breath, English in parts and other languages. But at some point he becomes aware that there are too many of them, like the whole town has come to the defense of this nameless thing that's warped and fed off them for its own purposes. It makes him angrier, and he stops trying to make out faces, just putting them down as fast as he can. "Sam," he says, reloading. He's trying not to think about how few clips he has left. "You need to hurry." Sam squeezes and taps to show he's heard. He tugs, and Dean lets Sam's grip on his shoulder steer them across the cave floor, Sam leaving a trail of flares like breadcrumbs. Three more. Then five right behind them, one a little girl. "They took me down into the dark. Can't think about it. Can't think about it. They're not human anymore. Not really. Sam said so, and Dean believes him. Not human. Not human." His right clip runs out, and he doesn't have time to reload it or bring it back to bear before something crashes into him on that side, tearing him away from Sam and bowling him across the stone. "Sam?" The other hand sees onto his wrist, bang the left against a rock until his fingers let go of the gun, and it clatters away. "Sam!" He promised. He promised to protect Sam. Fighting then, the taste of blood and skin and other things he doesn't want to think about in his mouth, other nameless things under his fingernails, the crunch of bone under his boot heels. Doesn't matter, doesn't matter. He promised, and there isn't much time. So many of them. Every time he fights his way clear of one, or a few, there's another to take its place, forcing him down again, spread eagle against the cold stone. "Sam? Sam!" "Dean!" Dean doesn't know how to describe what happens next. Sam shouts at Dean's name, loud, despairing, and then suddenly there's a shockwave, concussive pressure and force and light, like a nuclear blast. Against it, he can see Sam, silhouetted to only a black cutout shape, hands fisted in his hair. And then the screaming starts. Dean's eyes jerk away from Sam to look at his attackers, all in mirrors of Sam's pose, eyes shut or staring widely, hands clutched to their heads. Dean doesn't understand until finally, somewhere deep in his own mind, he feels a second light, actinic and huge flare in his own mind, burning away the clotted layers of darkness and scourging him with fire. Dean screams and flies up, out into the light. Waking up seems to take a very long time. Reports are coming in from the outlying regions of his body, sluggishly and in broken fragments that don't seem to make a lot of sense on their own. Cold, hurt, stiff. Pressure on his chest. Another person. Smell tells him Sam, in bursts of sweat and shampoo and skin. Something under his hip. Pain. Dean brings up one hand to sweep under him, dislodging something metal. He thinks it's one of the guns. While the other comes to press Sam's body into his. Sam is warm, breathing. Dean cups the sweat-damp back of Sam's neck, soft hair brushing over his knuckles and breathing out a thank you to whomever might be listening. Dean listens, stupid and slow, and realizes that the breath he hears isn't only his and Sam's. Dean opens his eyes, and it's dark, the colors of his eyes the only illumination and the useless. He lets himself lie a moment longer. Memory. The dreamer in the dark. The mine. Valeria in the hospital. Washing into him gradually. Then he shakes Sam lightly. Sam twitches and makes a soft noise of protest, scrubbing his cheek hard against Dean's chest, arm tightening around Dean's left side. Dean shakes him again. Sam. No, Sam breathes. Dean squeezes gently and then starts to curl up, forcing Sam to move too. Sam growls, but eventually he sits back on his heels, his fingers still tucked in the front of Dean's coat. You okay? Sam asks. What happened? He hears Sam fumbling in his pack, the crackle of paper, and looks away before Sam lights the flare. In the explosion of light, Dean can see they're lying in a tangle of bodies. Some are obviously dead, twisted in shapes no one living makes. Others are less certain, and Dean crabs his hand sideways, reaching for his gun. Sam puts his hand over Dean, stopping him, and Dean turns his head to look at Sam. Don't, he says. They're not dangerous anymore. They're not? No, the thing, it's dead. Most of the shells are dead, too. Dead? Dean repeats. Yeah. Sam's fingers quake just a little. Dean doesn't think Sam even noticed it. His face turned so all Dean can see is hair and the jut of his jaw. He sounds ashamed. I killed it. Physically, it was very weak. That's why it fought the way it did, with illusions and shells. It's the second time he said that. Shells? Sam's thumb strokes over the back of Dean's hand, reassuring. Dean wonders who's being reassured here. The people it had possessed. That's how it thought of them. Shells it had hollowed out to make room for itself. Then why aren't they all dead? Because not all of them were possessed to the same degree. The more the creature had them, the more of them it had, the less of them there was to come back when it died. And the charges? Went off a while ago. Sam looks off in the direction he'd pointed out, the tunnel before. We can still get out through the tunnels by the hospital, though. He tilts his head as his gaze comes back. Dean doesn't know how to read his eyes in this flickering half-light. Isn't real good at reading Sam's expressions at the best of times. Do you remember anything? Oh. No, Dean answers and looks away. Sam takes a breath, and his fingers creep up to brush over Dean's neck, his jaw, making him shiver. "It'll come," he says. "Yeah. Hey, we should get out of here." His mouth feels like something died in it. He turns his head and spits. "We've got to get these people out of here," Sam says. "The survivors." Dean nods. "Of course we do. And then we blow up the cave?" Sam's hand goes around the back of Dean's neck and massages. Dean lets himself lean towards Sam for a moment. "Yeah. Then we blow up the cave." The hospital is on fire. Dean and Sam stand on the ridge above the facility with the rest of the survivors and a fair sprinkling of the hospital's patients shivering in dull teal scrubs. "Do you think she's down there?" Dean asks. He hadn't seen Dr. Valeria among the dead or the survivors they'd herded from the mine like dazed and painfully slow sheep. Sam shrugs. "I don't know." He's still punch drunk and sort of blown from the energy of whatever it is he did down in the mine. He's hanging on to Dean, and Dean guesses they look pretty stupid, but he also guesses it doesn't matter much, and none of these folks are in much of a position to care if he's cuddling with his brother on the side of a mountain or not. "I doubt it. I don't..." There wasn't much of her left, if anything. "We should go check," Dean says, a couple feet below him. A man who looks old enough to be their dad's age sits on the snow and cries, rocking back and forth and clutching himself. Dean wonders if it's because he remembers what he did when the dreamer had him, or because there's so little of himself left that it aches. "Yeah," Sam agrees, and neither of them move. "I wonder how you sleep. I wonder what you think of me. If I could go back, would you ever have been with me? I want you to be uneased. I want you to remember. I want you to believe in me. I want you on my side. Come on and lay it down. I've always been with you. Here and now. Give all that's within you. Be my savior, and I'll be your downfall." "Dean?" Sam's shivering a little in the circle of Dean's arms, and Dean's feet are almost numb. He thinks they probably should really get moving when someone tugs at his off arm and says his name. When he turns, he realizes he's known her from the hospital. Tall and raw-boned and fuchsia with cold in her hospital scrubs. Her head's just been shaved, the razor lines stand out ugly and scabbed, and her whole scalp looks raw and red. Once upon a time, she'd been frightened enough to grab and hold his hand, and he'd been beaten for it, and then locked in the coffin for 3 days. It takes longer to remember her name. Amy. "Hey," he says. "Amy." She smiles, and he sees a gap where she's lost a tooth, just since he'd last seen her. She throws her arms around him next, and Dean tries hard not to scratch her off him like a spider that's crawled down his neck. Instead, he sort of encourages her to step off of him. "What happened?" he asks. "Oh," she says vaguely, rocking from foot to foot and scratching the back of her shoulder. "Dr. Valeri put the ward on lockdown. She was pissed." Amy flinches and puts her hand over her mouth. "I mean, she was unhappy." "It's okay," Sam says, reassuring. Amy laughs nervously and tunelessly, looking everywhere but at them. He remembers that. Remembers it about himself, and shivers, arm flexing a little around Sam's waist. Sam's arm tightens in return. "Anyway, she left. They all left, pretty much." She gnaws on her knuckle. "And it was Franz that started it. I wasn't even there. I was somewhere else. It wasn't me. I was out. I was with my friends, James and Lily. We had tea and cream and ginger snaps." Sam looks at Dean curiously when Dean whirls one finger around his temple, crazy. "What did Franz start?" Dean asks. Amy stamps a foot in the snow, and he realizes she's barefoot. Of course she is. No shoes allowed in the ward. "You know," she says in an unnerving echo of the ghost from the cabin. "He and Mumbling Dave did it. They were angry, too. The fire's real pretty, though, right?" "Yeah," Dean says, heartfelt, and Sam squeezes again. It hurts a little, and Dean realizes that underneath the numbness, he hurts. Kind of a lot. "I brought this for you," Amy says, and lunges at him with this awkward thrush of limbs that makes him backpedal and steps on Sam's toe. But Amy only grabs his hand and thrusts her fingers at him, depositing something small and metal on his palm, warm from the heat of her skin. "I remembered it was yours. It's pretty, too." She beams at him, proud of herself, and Dean looks down to see a silver ring. He looks at Sam, who nods and takes it from him, slipping it on Dean's right ring finger. It snags a little on his enlarged knuckle, but not much, and when it's snugged down, it feels right. He turns back to Amy to thank her, but she's already bounding down the hill, whooping like a kid and throwing her arms up in the air. He wonders if she belongs here, in Asher's Grove, and whether she has any family left, or whether she, like him, was just somebody passing through, convenient and disposable. He wonders what she'll do now, what any of them will. The police haven't come, neither has the fire department. He wonders who's left to pick up the pieces now that it's finished. Dean shivers and turns back to Sam, turning the ring on his finger with his thumb, and then it occurs to him. "Dude," he says, eyeing Sam sidelong, "was that a proposal or something?" Sam's face breaks out into a huge happy grin. "You wish," he says, and punches Dean in the arm. Ow. Sam keeps suggesting that they leave, more often as the cold deepens and the light gets worse while the sun starts its downward arc, but Dean can't go. Not yet. Not until he sees her. Not until he knows. They end up hiking almost all the way back up to the cave before Dean finds her in a clump of evergreen bushes, twisted and tiny and dead. He doesn't feel anything looking down at her. No sense of satisfaction. No sense of revenge or even justice. Nothing. She bled from her eyes, ears, and nose, making a mask of dried gore. Her face is surprisingly peaceful under it. It doesn't look like she hurt. He doesn't know if that's a relief or makes him sorry. He wonders how the thing in the mine got to her in the first place. When? He's seen all the degrees in her office, the pictures of her friends and family. She'd been human once. They all had, the people he killed today. Killed without a second thought or a moment's qualm, because Sam had been in his charge and Dean had promised to protect him. His chest feels tight, and even though his hands are empty, he thinks he can still feel the cross-hatched grips of the gun against his palms like scars. "I don't know what I'm supposed to feel," he says, when Sam comes tramping up and stands next to and just behind him, shoulders jostling. "I don't know either, Dean," Sam says. He rests his chin on Dean's shoulder. They stand there a while longer, shoulders hunched against the wind, before Sam tugs on Dean's sleeve. "Come on, let's get out of here." He bumps Dean in the shoulder again. Dean nods. He spits once, blood-flecked, in the snow near the corpse, and then lets Sam lead him down the hill by the light of the burning asylum. Dean washes his hands in the snow when they get back to the car. Face two. The cold burning against his skin. The jacket's a total loss, and even though the cold is brutal, he takes it off and leaves it. It's nothing he wants to take with him. He takes the keys from Sam's limp, tired fingers. Sam nods tiredly and goes around to the passenger side. Dean discovers that driving is another thing that's mostly muscle memory, and that the driver's side seat feels a lot more comfortable under his ass. Sam doesn't talk on the way back to the cabin, head leaned back on the headrest and his eyes wide open. The nervous energy that carried Sam through the mine, the ordeal with the dreamer, and the long search for Valeria's body. He feels guilty about that now. Way to go, Dino. Seems to have died out of him, leaving Sam shrunken and burnt out, oddly small as he hunches, knees knocking in the glove box. And Dean can feel it coming, Sam slams the Impala door back at the cabin, which makes Dean wince, but he just follows Sam into the cabin. He can taste it, like lightning before the storm. He thinks there should be something he can say, that he should know Sam well enough to know how to make this better, but he doesn't. He might never know. Inside the bedroom, Sam chucks his backpack into the corner, sits down, and starts to unlace his boots. Dean remains standing, tapping his fingertips on the table, looking down at his bloodied, filthy knuckles. Only so much you can do with snow, after all. Sam kicks his boots aside and tacks his belt next. It's horrible, Dean thinks, that he feels almost jealous of the people that were in the thrall to the thing in the mine. Freed. They get to be more or less whole again. They are themselves, while he and Amy and all their other victims are still only shattered empty slates. He supposes he's lucky that he only lost his memory and not his mind. He's lucky to have Sam. For however long that lasts. Dean closes his eyes and tries not to think about it. Sam won't leave him here. That's good enough for now. It has to be. You thought I'd get my memory back, didn't you? Dean asks suddenly, eyes opening again. He smudges an old paint spot on the wood with the toe of his sneaker, Sam's sneaker. If we killed it, you thought it would come back to me. Sam freezes, his hands on his knees, head down. Give it time. It still could come back, he says finally, not looking up. It'll come back. And some things are coming back, but not everything. It may never come back. That's not the point. The point is, you thought it, Dean persists. All at once, Sam slings his belt across the room in a vicious underhand throw. It hits the wood and the metal leaves a small scar bright against the wood. Yeah, Dean, what? I thought it, okay? His head comes up, his expression angry and troubled. Okay. Dean shrugs. He just wanted Sam to say it. Sam sort of chokes and looks at Dean incredulously. Okay? And suddenly Dean can tell. This is when. Okay? Dean crosses the room fast and grabs two handfuls of Sam's shirt just as Sam starts breaking, just like Dean knew he'd eventually have to. Sam shakes in Dean's grip, trying to bow in half. It's not okay, Sam insists, seizing Dean's shirt in his fingers in return. It's not okay, Dean. It's not okay. I just want my brother back. I want my brother. His eyes are lunatic huge and wild, staring at Dean as if he can bring the other Dean, his Dean, to the surface with the pull of his mind. I want you, all of you. Fuck. Sam bows his head, choking on it after holding on for so long. I'm sorry. Dean shakes his head. No, it's okay, Sam. It's okay. He murmurs again and again. I get it, Sammy. It's okay. Shh. It's not okay, Sam insists again. But it's only a moment before Sam's teeth are in his throat, and his sustained, I want you. I want you. Resonates up Dean's own vocal cords like the words are his own. Dean's fingers slip under the hem of Sam's shirt, finding first the taut and trembling skin of Sam's stomach, and then the warm muscles of his pectoral, where he can feel Sam's heart throb too fast against his palm. Here, Dean says softly, letting Sam bend his head back and chew on the skin of his neck, letting Sam do whatever he wants. I'm here. Sorry, Sam whispers, wretched, even as he pushes the shirt from Dean's shoulders, slides his thumb under the short sleeves of Dean's tee and to trace the underside of Dean's biceps to his armpits. Goosebumps break out on Dean's skin. I'm so sorry. Don't, Dean answers. Don't be sorry. He doesn't know what else to say. He strips Sam out of his shirt, curves his fingers around Sam's waist and up Sam's spine. Sam's teeth close hard on Dean's skin, and he moans. Jesus, it hurts, but Dean doesn't pull away. doesn't do anything other than give in to it, roaming Sam's skin with his own. I love you. I just love you, Dean. It's good enough. It has to be. Sam's still shaking, but Dean thinks it's for other reasons now. Because they're alive. Because it's over and they're here together. Sam's cock is warm and full in his hand, and Sam's mouth is still stammering apologies into his, and now it's really done. Really, really done, and tomorrow they'll move on, and this is what is left. This is what is left. Sam and Dean. Dean and Sam. Don't be sorry, Dean says again, tugging Sam down off the chair into his lap, into his arms. He tugs at Sam's hair, bites Sam's lips and chin and jaw and neck till Sam's two bright eyes close and his body arcs into Dean's. I'm here. I'm here. Dean. Sam's mouth makes new patterns of bruises over the ones from today, renewing the ones he left before, marking Dean as his again. They ride and thrust against each other, slow at first, then faster, harder, more urgent. Tiredness sloughing away against the bigger need to do this, be this, reaffirm this. Dean and Sam. Sam and Dean. Dean thinks he remembers this too. Violence begets violence. Sometimes things end with a bang. Sometimes they start with one. Coda. Dean's tired, doesn't remember ever feeling so tired, although that's not saying much. Sam's already asleep, face buried in Dean's shoulder and busily drooling. Dean wants to sleep, but he can't, fingers continuing their idle slide over Sam's naked back, feeling him breathe, feeling his heartbeat. I want my brother back, Sam had said, and then, a moment later, I want you. He thought Sam would want to fuck him, bury himself inside of Dean, but instead he turned and offered himself on hands and knees, asking, please, please, Dean, please fuck me. Shh, Dean said, and drew Sam down onto him, wrapping his arms around Sam's chest. Sam's breath caught like a sob and his back arched, not in protest, but he worked himself down, gripping Dean's thighs roughly. Dean, Sam whispers in between his moans and whimpers, shoulder blades digging into Dean's skin. God, Dean. Dean, it's his name, and he knows it because Sam tells him so, because he can hear it in the 100 different tones of Sam's voice, because he can almost remember it, just as there are 100 other things he can almost remember, like all his memories are just on the other side of this gauze curtain that he can't quite find the opening of. Tomorrow they'll leave and go back to what Sam tells him is their life. Cheap motels and cheaper diners, guns and knives, and more ghosts and monsters than he can shake a stick at. Evils like the one that did this to him. Evils like the one that murdered their family and left them with no one and nothing but each other. Harder, Dean gasped as his fingers dug into Dean's thigh. God, Dean, harder. No. Dean flattened his hand between Sam's pectorals. Sam's heartbeat was erratic, wild. His other hand cupped Sam, not stroking. No. Like this. Like this. Sam choked and moaned and twisted his body down on Dean's cock, tightening inside himself until Dean could barely move, held deep within Sam's body. Dean. Sam feels guilty. Sam feels bad, and although he will do anything for Sam, he won't let Sam punish himself on Dean's dick. No, Dean said again, tilting Sam back for more, forcing him to go with Dean's rhythm, slow and steady, deep. Like this, Sammy, you and me. Slow. I won't hurt you, little brother. Go slow. Sam cried out, and his hips jerked hard as he came into Dean's hand. They could have died today, and very soon, Possibly as soon as tomorrow or the next day, they're going to do it again. Sam snuffles and twitches in his sleep, smearing drool across Dean's shoulder. Dean grimaces a little, but doesn't stop petting Sam's back. Sam wriggles closer, hot and slightly damp, easing his leg over Dean's. All he has is Sam, and a half-interest in a car and a bunch of weapons. That doesn't seem like very much. But in the last several days, it's also been enough to fill up his whole world. Dean stares up at the ceiling and thinks about Sam. When he closes his eyes, though, all he can see is Dr. Valeri all shriveled up and dead in the snow. Their father's journal is filled with things like her, or the monster that had stood behind her, the inhuman thing that ate humans like he'd eat a Snickers bar. It would have eaten the whole town, spread itself further like some horrible contagion, and no one would have stopped it. How many of the townsfolk had been caught simply because they didn't believe that something like the Dreamer in the mine could exist? Someday, he and Sam will die. Maybe as soon as tomorrow. Maybe in some fantastical old age. He can't even contemplate. But the monsters will still be there. And people will still be walking blindly, unaware they even exist. Dean ached as he pulled out of Sam, unsatisfied. Sam eased off to the side, and Dean laid back, and they sprawled next to each other on the dirty, freezing-ass floor, panting hard and sweating. "Hey," Sam said after several moments, noticing Dean still curving up toward his belly. His hand crept to encircle Dean's cock. Dean closed his eyes over Sam's wrist. "It's okay, Sam. I don't need it. Sam looked at him, his eyes mostly brown in the half-light. There was a bruise on his forehead, right up at his hairline where Dean couldn't see until now. "I want to," he said, and started to stroke, even though Dean was filthy and wet. "Please? Let me?" Sam's hand twisted just so at the end of the slide, hard and rough and way too much, and Dean's head fell back and knocked into the wood with a thump. "You okay?" "Yeah," Dean said, starting to pant as Sam's stroke twisted again. "Yeah, okay. Just go." Sam draped over him, hot and lithe, and ran his tongue over Dean's lips. Dean's lids started to droop, but he made his eyes stay open, made himself look. Sam's face blurry and too close. He put his hand around Sam's forearm and felt the muscles flex and release with every movement. "Sam," he tried to say, but it only came out as a moan through tangled tongues. "Sam," he tried to say as he came. Sam's hand spread Dean's spend all over his stomach, his hips, and then he bent to lick it all away, again. "You and me, Dean," Sam said after, coming to bite and nuzzle messily at Dean's mouth again. "You have to promise. You and me." Dean looked at him, surprised he had to ask. At the same time, some tight band of pressure in his chest eased, and his next breath felt clear and sharp in a way none of the others had been. "Yeah, Sam. Long as you want." "Promise, Dean. Say it." "Yeah, Sam," he said again, and craned up to that wide, spit-wet mouth. "You and me. I promise." Someday they won't be able to do this anymore, but someone will need to. There's got to be another way, Dean thinks, cloudy as he finally tips over the edge and into sleep.